This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with my publisher for 25 years, Bill Newlin. And Bill is retired now, and he's enjoying a lot of travels, and he's enjoying building his library of historic travel guidebooks. And he joins us now to talk about the Grand Tour in Europe. And with the Industrial Revolution and a rising middle class with enough money to travel, you've also got trains that make travel more affordable, and you can get vast distances in a matter of hours.
Trains were extremely exciting.
You got Thomas Cook that comes along with that.
Well, Thomas Cook sent 150,000 people or something like that to the Great London Exhibition of 1851. He was
a big travel agent. He organized tours, basically.
That's right.
On trains.
But then in the 1870s, 20 years after he began running these tours, he also became a travel guide publisher. So Thomas Cook was a significant travel guide publisher.
So he had a big impact on European travel.
He did.
And that brought along more guidebooks?
Well, yes. In France, the great Joanne series emerged from Louis Hachette's dream of railway kiosks, an idea that was originated by W. H. Smith and that Hachette saw at the London Exhibition of 1851. And the French Joanne series began with the railways as its organizing principle from the get-go. But then with the advent of the automobile in 1900, then a new competitor emerged, Michelin, a tire company, who initially gave away the books to promote auto travel. But then at a certain point, one of the Michelin founders realized that the books were not being valued because they didn't cost anything. So they began to charge for the books simply to give them more perceived value.
And that takes it right up to my generation, because I remember the Michelin greed guides were a big part of my travels decades ago. And they had the Michelin tire guy on the cover.
They did indeed. Michelin was really the first of the old line guidebooks to jump back into the market after World War II. During World War II, no travel whatsoever. But then in 1946, 7, 8, you had first Michelin and then the Guide Bleu. And Fodor's, in fact, had published three books in 1936, 37, and 38 to Europe. Fodor's himself was a Hungarian, but he was living in the U.S., came out with individual country guides beginning in 1948. As annuals.
And this is all possible because there's a market and an appetite for it, and that means more people are affording to travel, a bigger middle class. And in the 1950s, you have transatlantic flights that are affordable, and you got a guy named Arthur Frommer who figures he must have $5 a day. And he opened the door to – that was a big deal for mass tourism.
Yeah. Also,
Frommer and the advent of the mass airline.
Also in the 20th century, both before and after the war, you began to see guides to other destinations as well. So we've been talking only about European travel. That's all the Grand Tour was about. By the late 19th century, early 20th century, you see more and more travel and guidebooks to Asian destinations. South America and South Africa – were serviced initially by the cruise lines because they were trying to encourage people to take cruise ships down to these destinations.
And today, arguably the biggest employer on earth and one of the biggest industries is tourism.
Yes, it is. And guidebooks still have a place in that ecosphere, but a smaller one than they did before.
Well, I'm glad there's a place because that's my place.